campus and student news.
The Pulse. Pulse.
And so, for our next story, which was a URN News and Impact crossover for actual on-the-ground reporting, I'm passing you over to Cora.
Women of Nottingham marched through the city on the evening of Saturday, 22nd October, in solidarity to... I said that so weirdly then. Sorry. In solidarity to protest violence against women and girls and to reclaim the streets that many fear to walk alone at night. So, before I ask a question, I'll throw it back to Ben, who has some highlights from our on-scene reporting.
Yes, so if you go on to our link tree on our Instagram or Twitter, you can listen to the full report, but we do have a little highlight reel of some of the responses. And so I will now play those responses and we'll be back to discuss about the march in a second. Well, I say a second, in 1 minute and 33 seconds. So do tune into these highlights.
On campus.
And online.
This
is URN.
Are there any ideas you think the Nottingham City Council could implement, or any ways just Nottingham in general could improve to ensure women feel safer at night time?
Well, obviously my niche is biking and nights out, really. So I can speak on that most eloquently, probably, more than any other subject. Like, for example, I would love to see all, like, cool venues across Nottingham, best we can, do some safety training, stuff like the Safe Place Project, or even, like, the Egalitarian, do a great training course. Like, it's time for venues to take a little bit more responsibility about what happens in their venues.
I am female. I identify as female, and this is obviously a really important issue to women. I really care about making the city as safe as possible for women and anyone who feels vulnerable in the nighttime economy. I'm also the SU community officer, so I'm on a lot of committees with the police and the council and the venues trying to make this city a safer place. So obviously this is a really important event for pushing that forward.
I've always come to Reclaim the Night and marched every year, like long before I became an MP, but it was a real privilege to be here tonight and to be able to speak and to follow on from so many other women who spoke so powerfully about their experiences and resistance and liberation for all women.
On campus.
And online.
This
is URN.
So yes, as I mentioned, if you do want to listen to the full report, you can find it on our Instagram, which is URN_news, and on Twitter, which is just at URNPulse, all one word. And so, I suppose, after hearing the highlights, you know, what were your guys' thoughts on this rally?
So I was actually in attendance at the rally, doing the on-scene reporting alongside Scarlett Pontin, and it was a very empowering experience to have, I would say, as you see all these women come out to fight for their rights pretty much. But at the same time, it's heartbreaking the fact that I think it's for over 30 years they have been annually coming out, minus the past couple of years from COVID, to just make an outcry, to ask to feel safe at night, to be able to go on their own streets without feeling like they're going to get heckled, catcalled, harassed, abused, and all sorts.
I think as well, one of the most interesting parts about this event is the fact that even just to attend the demonstration, you know, men were barred. And I suppose that is, you know, something that has been sort of criticized for, considering what the, you know, the march is about. You know, personally, I think that is fair enough. But I suppose, do you guys think that men should be included? Is this an issue that, you know, we sort of have to say, look, men, this is a you problem, you need to come to the table and, you know, start being better, in a nutshell? Or is it right for this to be a women's only event?
I think men do need to be held into account and encouraged to participate in this sort of thing, but I also think that there's a really important safety issue. And given that the women involved were heckled just by passers-by, I don't think you could safely hold this without the wrong sort of men coming and creating problems. I think that it needs to be a separate issue, that separate to this event, men need to be brought to the table. There needs to be a conversation around that, but not at this event, which should just be about empowering women.
I think I definitely agree with that. And I suppose also one of the other things is, you know, what could the... obviously, this march was sort of Nottingham city-wide and not just localised to the university, which we'll be getting onto a similar topic rather soon. What could Nottingham City Council be doing to, you know, make women feel more safe, and not just make them feel safe, but actually make them safer. What more could Nottingham City Council be doing? I suppose if we knew the answer to that, we'd all be policy experts in a nutshell. But additionally as well, the march as well was highly successful from what I heard. Obviously, I couldn't attend myself. But it was also subject to, you know, passers-by heckling. And so, Cora, you were there. Do you want to sort of give us a rundown about what that was about?
Yes. So, it wasn't even halfway into the march. It was near the beginning when the protesters were walking up from Snyton Market to Old Market Square. A lot of traffic had to be stopped, pretty much, so the women could safely cross the road. And some people were getting out of their cars, shouting profanities and abuse at the women. And it was quite horrible to see, especially considering what the march is about and the fact it was specifically about the sort of abuse targeted towards women. And it, again, yeah, it was horrible to see. But the women's response to it was also quite empowering. They didn't back down. They called the men out that were specifically heckling, because it was men, again, doing the heckling and targeting these women. But interestingly, later on, we did also see a lot of men wanting to get involved in the parade and supporting those who identified as women in attendance. And I think that also needs some publicity around that, because even though they wanted to get involved, they still stood back and they acknowledged that men were causing the issue. It's not women kind of shouting about something they are causing. They're calling men out for treating them horribly. And again, I think that's something that needs to be have light shed on.
I don't think we should celebrate people for doing the bare minimum. Congratulations on not wanting to abuse women. Yes, the event should have been women only. The Nottingham Council should have put much more recognition on it. It should have been supported in a much better way. The issue of female and female presenting safety across the country is abysmal. And last year, Impact Investigations reported on how female and female presenting people felt on campus, and there was an overwhelming sense that they felt unsafe. However, of the men canvassed, there was a sense that it was all a bit silly, it was a bit much, and that jokes about certain subjects are okay. Those subjects being the type of subjects that, you know, abuse, you know, crimes of abuse, that sort of thing. And I think it is an endemic problem of entitlement amongst young men, and a certain empowerment of young men, where they don't and you're right, they need to come to the table. Where they have to come to the table and do more than the bare minimum, and say, "I support you, good, but call out your friends. Start going to look out for training. Check your own behaviour. Check your friends' behaviour." You know, there is a huge amount of work that needs doing to keep women and women presenting safe, and it's all being done by women. Men are just sitting back and waiting for the next shove to go. You need to do this now. Stop hitting us now. Stop court calling us now. No, stop waiting to be told how not to abuse women, and start learning. Go to classes, be better, and the conversation needs to be around young children as well. Young boys are still taught this toxic masculine idea of boys will be boys, that's how they are. And that conversation of what were you wearing on the night out, where you drink. No, don't teach. We shouldn't have the horror of teaching how women need to be safe, and we need to teach our boys not to abuse and rape.
You go ahead, Cora.
Oh, thank you. I completely agree with you there. And actually, someone we interviewed who was a bystander, they were a male Nottingham teacher, and they were emphasising pretty much the same comments you have just made, that there needs to be more education around consent, around sex and relationships in general. And I think that is something that is needed across the entire country, and we could probably touch upon that more in the next segment with what we're discussing there. But I do think more education needs to be done. People need to be taught from a young age what is okay and what isn't okay, and to respect each other's boundaries, as you have just detailed, Gareth.
I think as well, you know, that I was actually going to make a sort of similar point to Gareth as well, is the fact, you know, it is sort of the prevalence of lad culture in a way. And I know that this often sort of gets represented as like, oh, sort of jockey, sort of sport, sort of buildery lads, you know, sort of all having a pint and then, you know, going and accosting women on the street. But the thing is, it goes beyond that, and it is more subtle than that as well. You know, just your bog standard everyday man will probably sometimes, you know, at the toss of a coin, see one of his mates do something that probably is not appropriate, but they'll just sort of pass it off and say, oh, he's just being a bit of a fruity geezer, rather than actually properly call it out, which again I think is the problem. It's people not only, because it's sort of the grey area, because it's sort of where obviously very clear sort of disrespecting and sort of catcalling, that sort of things, that is, you know, I imagine a fair few people do call that out, but sort of that grey zone in the middle, you know, sort of like, oh, the unwarranted compliment, or the comment, you know, the comment behind your back, oh, didn't she look nice, you know, that sort of thing. I think that as well is sort of a big problem that sort of perpetuates the issue. And yeah, that's sort of my two cents on the topic. But sort of specifically on the Reclaim the Night March, is there any sort of final comments? Because I think I'm going to do something rather radical, and without a song break, we're going to go into the next segment, just because they link so well. You are the Pulse. And there we go.
Okay, so yesterday UON students rallied together to demand mandatory consent training at the University of Nottingham. Specifically, Daisy Forster, as our community officer, helped organise the event, and they had a rally around campus, and they're discussing the importance of sexual consent training at Nottingham. And I believe Ben has highlights of that to play for us.
Yes, once again, as this was a URN News and Impact crossover report, we do indeed have highlights. And so these highlights were brought to you by myself and Cora, who went down and spent 2 hours with them for the entirety of the march. And it was actually a fairly good time.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though, as reporters, we couldn't also chant ourselves for impartiality reasons. But anyways, here is the highlights from our report.
This is URN.
I think just further education, like, not everyone gets great consent training at school, so it's really important everyone's on the same page when you get to uni, and I think more education can help prevent, like, sexual assaults, which are quite prevalent at universities still.
I saw the cause was very, very important, because I did not know that Trent has had mandatory consent training for 4 years, apparently, and the Uni of Nottingham has not. I think it's really, really important that, especially that freshers who join on uni for, like, you know, it's their first time away from home, they might not know about the importance of consent in like day-to-day life, just like going about their business, doing things that people do. And I think it is a really, really useful thing to even, you know, for the Uni to put out for poor people to be able to access.
Consent training is important to show SA victims that they are valued and respected, that to be safe is to be free, because you don't feel like you can do a lot and you feel constrained in your life when you're afraid, and consent training can help stop people living in fear.
I think if we all had a certain level of what the university expects, or like what other people expect, I think we'd all be like on the same page.
On campus
and online,
this
is URN.
And so that was the highlights of our mandatory consent training report. And so obviously, as in fact one of the interviewees in the highlights mentioned, you know, Nottingham Trent University has had this mandatory consent training already in place for quite a few years. And I suppose sort of my sort of open-ended question to you guys is, should we have this at the University of Nottingham?
Yes.
Nice. And so how do you think that it should be implemented?
So the university have implemented, I don't think it's mandatory yet, but for first years, they will get a text on their phones, inviting them to do a short course on their phones, and the university is hoping that that's quite interactive and will encourage students to do the consent. They get two texts and it's consent training. I'm not a first year, so I haven't done the course. I don't know what it's like. But I am wondering, do you think that's the right approach, or do we need face-to-face teaching where students are forced to really like interact and engage with it?
Well, sorry, Will, I'll let you go.
No, you can go for but oh. I was going to say, I think it's a good idea to provide the consent training, but I think the issue is if you make it mandatory, how are you going to be able to enforce it if you make it mandatory? Because it's at the moment, you know, they say things like, for example, lectures and seminars, you know, for people's courses and that are mandatory, but, you know, you don't get full attendance. And at the end of the day, if you're not going to enforce that mandatory element to the training, then it's not going to be achieving its aims. And I think that is something that would need to be addressed.
Yeah, I think that, because I had an interview with one of the members last year of the University of Nottingham, and one of the concerns she raised is, first of all, for survivors of SA, they might not be comfortable in a consent training room. If you did it as a lecture with hundreds of people around you and it's something you've personally experienced, that could feel really uncomfortable, that could feel really unsafe, and if it's mandatory, you have no option to leave, you have to be there, and that can make students feel trapped. And also, if you, on the other hand, do it online, as they're hoping to do with the interactive phone course, that doesn't mean students necessarily engage with it. Even if you do a quiz at the end, it's really difficult to make sure that students are actually going through all the information, reading through all the information, and taking it in and listening to what is being said.
Yes, yeah, so I agree with you guys regarding its... It does present an issue of forcing people to sit in on consent training if they're uncomfortable, which it's horrible for anyone, I think. But I've had experience where I've done consent training at schools, a part of my work outside of university and for a sexual abuse charity. And usually when it's mandatory consent training, as part of the safeguarding for that training, you always offer the option to, if this is making you uncomfortable, if this is bringing things up for you, you have every right to leave the room. And I think that's what the university would need to emphasise in this situation. And just to further add on to the fact that they have the text message for freshers to do to some training, in a statement that Professor Catherine Linhan, I think I'm pronouncing that right, gave to Impact regarding the consent rally, she stated that there are plans to pilot a face-to-face consent training through the sports societies at the university, as well as societies in general, which again raises the question of how are they going to ensure that students are engaging in it? How are they going to make sure that it's not just going to be a kind of one-off act, performative activism thing?
The university seems to sort of have a problem in deciding actual effective measures to make sure as many people see this training as possible. Sort of both points from yourself, Cora, and also Laura, that rhymes. Sort of, as Laura mentioned, the fact that currently the university has a text message system where you have a link to then go, you know, do this voluntary training. You know, I highly doubt many people are going to click that, simply because, you know, you get a text from a number you don't recognise, even if it claims to be, you know, even if it claims it's like the University of Nottingham, or even if it claims it's the BBC or HMRC, no one trusts links just randomly sent to your phone. Even if the university was to send an email saying, hey, you're going to get this text, please go do it, you know, freshers have swamped with emails, and it could easily slip under the radar. And additionally as well, Cora, with what you mentioned with the university trialing this out with sports societies and societies, you know, not every student is a member of, you know, these sorts of parts of university. Just use my sister as an example. You know, she doesn't do any societies at her university, which is Trent, by the way. And so, there's no guarantee that everyone's going to see this. And so, I personally can't see a reason why the university is dragging its heels on this. And in a nutshell, Vice-Chancellor Shira West, please implement. But as well, I mean, again, Will sort of made a very good point with it being, you know, how do we enforce this mandatoriness? Do you think that a sort of freeballing here? Do you think like a QR code system would work to register you've done it, perhaps?
Yeah, and you don't get to graduate until you've done it. And you do it once a year, every year at university. Because if that's awkward for you, then you find it awkward to stop women being abused. And you find it awkward to talk about consent, and it makes you a problem.
I think that's one method, definitely, in that...
I realise it's quite draconian, but
it's effective in that if you know you're not going to be able to graduate without it, then you're going to go. But I also think, I remember in my first year, this is like ages ago, now if, like 2019, so pre-COVID time, we had academic integrity lectures. I'm not sure if the rest of you have had those, but they were mandatory. You had to go. If you didn't go, then you were going to get into a lot of trouble and you were going to be chased up. And I think that's the sort of method that needs to be taken with this, in that your attendance is recorded. And for those that may not feel comfortable being in person, there's an option to do it online, because as COVID has proven to us, we can do hybrid learning now. There's no reason for forcing everyone to be in a room together, particularly when you may have some students who may have experienced abuse or harassment from another student in that room. So there are so many options to ensure safety of students involved, and also to ensure they can do it and to monitor it as well.
It should be for staff as well.
And staff, yes.
Everyone who works. I mean, mandatory consent training should be a thing that everyone has to do. But if we're talking about the university specifically, all staff and students should have mandatory consent training, and it can be done in private, but you do it on your university account, so it registers that you've done it. You can have it in a public, like if we have a seminar, you can do the same thing. Services should be provided afterwards if you feel you have been affected or are currently going through something like this, then you should be able to contact someone. The university is not safe, and it's not welcoming to people who want to talk. I know there's something on the app that says you can report at any time, anywhere. It's a step forward. But we are, again, like, it's going back to my point about Reclaim the Night. It's these little step forwards. There's no proactivity to jump 5 or 6 steps ahead to really start solving the problem. It's, you know, we're being forced to do mandatory consent. All right, we'll text it to them then. Oh, it's not worked. All right, well, we'll email them then. Stop doing half measures, spending money on half measures, and take the bull by the horns and start addressing the problem that your university, your wonderful red brick university, isn't safe, and fix that.
And I think on that note as well, Gareth, that the fact that a student group, so it's Sexpression Nottingham, who are a branch of the Sexpression charity nationwide, they have had to, well, they felt they've had to create an open letter and do a rally on campus just to ask for support to be able to tackle this issue on campus before it gets too much. So it really says how little these small steps are impacting the student community.
And if you do search Sexpression on Instagram, you can also find their open letter in order to go and sign it. And looking at the clock, that is actually all we have time for on that segment.
Campus and student news.
The Pulse.